Originality.
You. Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go. Hello, welcome back. This is Nick, your host of the show Autographs. If you are listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Today we had somebody really special on the show. She goes by the name of Jen Rubio, and she founded a company called Away Travel. Away is a travel business. They're a luggage company, but when Jen and I actually met, which was 2.5 years ago at a conference in San Francisco, she was speaking, and I had an opportunity to speak with her backstage. She left a really lasting impression on me because the moment that she walked into our room, she spoke with my team, and we spoke with her, and she just lit us up right away, and she didn't do so by overtly trying to light us up. It's just Jen has this way with people where she's so unapologetically herself that, honest to God, it lights you up so quickly. And just 2.5 years ago, we sat down and her company was valued at, I think, $10 million or something like that. And just 2.5 years later, we sat down again and the valuation for the company's at $1 billion. Yes, that's $1 billion with a B. So much has happened since we last sat down. And when her and her team reconnected with me because Jen was coming to Toronto, I was just so excited to be able to sit down with her and have this conversation at this stage in her career. I can certainly tell you that Jen did not build Away alone. She's had a co-founder the whole way through and just an incredible support network. Her team has been lovely to deal with. Thank you, Away team, for being so forthcoming and able and just flexible with setting up this whole talk and whole conversation. And also shout out to House for hosting us. Just being in your facility that day was very lovely and incredibly kind and generous of you folks. So I'm not going to say much more. I hope that what you folks get out of this talk is exactly what I get out of every single time I meet Jen, which is a deeper connection with myself and a deeper desire to want to be myself more often and more frequently. So enjoy. I'll see you folks on the other end and enjoy this episode. Peace. All right.
It's recording to your phone.
No. It's recording No, it's not recording to the phone. That'd be mad amateur hour, Jen. We're in Exo House. We can't do that. But actually, I do want to give a shout out before I forget to Launchpad Exo House for hosting us today. This is an incredible space. And thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Carly. And thank you, Jen, for allowing us to be here.
Yeah. Thank you, House. And thanks, Away team.
Yeah. It's been absolutely lovely so far, my experience with everyone. But I figure that we dive right in for the sake of time.
Let's do it.
But beforehand, how was your talk with Elevate?
Yeah, so I gave a talk yesterday at the Elevate Tech Fest with Vanessa Kraft, who's the editor-in-chief of L Canada. And it was great. I think it's always nice when you're talking in a market that's fairly new. Canada is one of our largest growing markets, but we haven't done a ton here so far. I made a big announcement yesterday.
Did you?
That Away is opening a store in Toronto.
Are you
in
serious?
The next few months. Yep. So we're
retail
very excited.
Jobs, everyone. Let's
yes.
just say.
Jobs for everyone.
Lovely.
So it's really exciting. It's just great to get like that new energy of people who maybe know about the brand but don't know the backstory, or people who are just finding out about us.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And congratulations, by the way. Yeah, it's amazing. Have you been to Toronto before or no?
Yeah. You know, I love Canada. I don't know if you know that.
Cool.
I'm like
on record, everyone.
Yeah. I love
She's
Canada. I love Toronto. I love Vancouver. All the other cities too. But no, but I think the energy here specifically is incredible. It's like a young, up and coming creative energy.
Mm.
I find people are like very kind, very humble, but also very, very talented.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to be here, and I'm here for the whole week.
Yeah, we're grateful to have you here. It's a busy week from what I understand. So we're very certainly grateful to have you here with us. And I figure we dive right into the actual questions for the sake of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I want to ask you is that on your interview with NPR, which is brilliant, and for the folks that don't know Jen, by the way, I'm just going to mull over her story and say, if you need to hear it, I promise you it's going to be one of the most resounding important stories you hear all week, all month, and potentially all year. This is not the place to find it, though. The best place, I think, is your interview with NPR, How I Built This. It was lovely. Guy Raz did such an outstanding job with you, and I can't even come to anything close to that, and we also don't have the time for it. So if you need to listen to Jen's story, that's that. But what you need to know for today is just spark notes. This is a woman who I had the pleasure of meeting 2.5 years ago. And at the time, her company was in a stage that she probably never thought it was going to scale to the way that it is there. Maybe you did.
Yeah. Well, let me add some color to the story.
Please.
Because
I would
we met
love
at
that.
HustleCon in 2017.
It was 2017.
And I had just walked off stage and had done a big talk in front of like 5,000 people around how Away was so spectacular because we did $10 million in sales.
I didn't want to mention. I didn't know if I could mention that.
Yeah, no, and it's out there, but that was the whole talk, like how we went from zero to 10 million in our first full year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I remember walking off that stage right when we met, and I was like, this is it. Like, you know, things are going to slow down from here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what we didn't know is that in 2018, Away would do $150 million in revenue.
That's insane.
So obviously didn't slow down at all.
Yep.
And it's crazy, like, even from when we met to now, you know, we have hundreds more employees. We're in dozens more countries. Like, the scale is just... you know, I think if anything, the scale reminds me every day that there's still so much more left to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy in that first year of starting a business. You're like, this is it. We made it.
Yeah.
I look back and I'm like, we hadn't done anything.
Exactly. And you know, one of the most impressive things about you, Jen, and when we first met, it was very prevalent and it's still alive today. And it's at, it's probably one of the best compliments that I think that I can give a human being from where I stand. And it's that I think that beyond anything that you've done business wise, for me, what you've always represented, and especially through doing research into your recent achievements, through it all, you're just a freaking great example of what it means to be a human being. I think, like, on the other end of this company, you're welcome. You and staff just honor all the values of what it means to just be a kind, loving person who just happened to stumble across an insanely successful company. I know there's more to it. You didn't just happen to stumble across this, but still, it's lovely. So now that you folks understand some of the backstory, let's dive in here. So on your interview with NPR, you said something fascinating, and you said that every curiosity I've ever had, I've always just followed it. You've done that so fearlessly. A lot of people, when they approach curiosities, they stumble. Oh, I'm not enough to go follow that. How did you have those fears in the beginning? Or
I'm not fearless by any means, but I think it's like what you do with that fear. Some people are like, oh, that's scary, I'm just not gonna do it. And some people are like, they charge right through it. And I think I say a lot that the growth comes out of getting to the other side of that fear. So it's like, obviously I was scared to quit Warby Parker and move to London by myself, or like I didn't know anyone. But I did it, and all of like the growth and the learning and like a new life was like on the other side of that fear. Of course I was scared to drop out of college and like move across the country for like kind of like a fake job at Neutrogena. It was like an internship that never ended. And that was scary, but the reward was so much bigger. And I think it's really important to recognize that like that kind of mentality is for sure a privilege. Like, there's a lot of people who maybe want to get on the other side of that fear, but they can't because like they need a paycheck and they need to pay the bills and they have mouths to feed and they have like other things to worry about and they can't just like follow their curiosity. It's like not that easy. But I do think that a good like framework or way of thinking about it is like, what's the worst that could happen? And if the worst thing that could happen is something you can deal with, and most people, you know, it'll like stretch your limits, but if you can deal with it, then go for it, you know?
So what were these things that might've been coming up for you, if you could remember them? What were your worst things that you could imagine happening?
Well, if we think about to when we were starting Away, I had just left my job as global director of innovation at All Saints. Steph was in business school. We were both interviewing for jobs. So I was interviewing for like a VP of marketing job at, like I was interviewing for like marketing leadership jobs at different companies, mostly fashion companies. Steph was interviewing to be VP of supply chain at different companies. And we set out on this journey to kind of pursue this idea to start Away. And, I think then we were like, okay, what's the worst that could happen? Like, I was already sleeping on her couch. the worst thing that could happen to me at that point in my career was that Away fails. And then I have to go back and go like look for another
job. Work in corporate.
Yeah, and work in corporate. Yeah. And that's like what I was trying to do anyway.
Yeah.
So if, like, I was like, okay, you know what? If like the downfall of all of this is I get set back a few months or a year, that's fine. Yeah. I can live with that. So I think just going through that thought process like makes you really not comfortable, but it you're like, you know what, the fall's not going to be that bad.
It settles you a bit.
Yeah, it does.
It settles your nerves.
Yeah. So I think just I've always thought that. And sometimes I can't think of an example now, but sometimes you'll get a thing and you're like, what's the worst that could happen? And you're like, oh yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm not down for that.
Yeah. It's fair.
And you know what? If I learned anything, it's that things are never as good or as bad as you make them out to be. They a lot of it is in your head and how you deal with it. So that's always helped.
It's a very experienced answer. Thank you. And then kind of moving on from that, it's that one of the things that impresses me that I feel that you do in an unrivaled way is that you're so authentically yourself. You're very good at this. And I don't think, and I want to actually give love to your co-founder, Steph. She's not always on these big circuits with you, but she's certainly in the background doing probably more than we could ever
imagine. She's doing the real work.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. So just Steph, I'm sure you won't listen to this, but if you ever stumble across this,
we love you.
You are loved, all right? And you're appreciated. But you didn't have to walk through these paths alone, but I want to step back into your past a little bit. Were you always just so authentically and fearlessly yourself? And how much of a role has that played in your success?
If I look back, I think I have been, even in the corporate settings or the startup settings. And I'm such a present person that I don't even know if I thought about the consequences at the time. I was certainly lucky where I've always had, all my crazy ideas or all the weird ways I did things. I've always had the support of the people I work with and my bosses and things like that. But I think definitely there's this sense of... you have to show up as somebody else at work,
yes,
in order to be successful. And I never felt that way. And I think I was really lucky because I always had the right mentors and the right people around me. And I think there's a lot of people who show up to work every day and they maybe speak up too much or they don't speak up enough. And they get weird feedback about the way they show up at work.
Yeah.
And I think if anything, I've realized over the years that talent and skill and ambition comes in every different form. And there's a natural tendency when you're in a leadership position to want to hire people who are just like you. Cause they're easier to deal with. You're surrounded by a bunch of yes men or women and it's easier to do that. But that's not the way the world works. People, the things that people contribute and bring to the table are have nothing to do with their personality or how loud they laugh or how outgoing they are. And I think that was a really important thing for me to realize. And once I realized that, that's when I realized how lucky I am and I was to be able to never have to think about that. No one ever told me hey, you're too outgoing or you're too opinionated. I'm sure I was. But no one ever tried to mute that part of me, which is why I acknowledge how lucky I am. And I think it's so important that people have the space to bring their full authentic selves to work, whether that means, you give them a space to speak up in meetings, but also this is something we think about at OA a lot.
Sure, please, yeah.
How do we build a culture where everybody can thrive? And for example, we use Slack nonstop. Everything is on there. We have no internal emails. But we realize that for some people who are extremely talented at what they do, writing a message, like a well-written message to a channel with dozens of people in it may not be their strong suit. So do they have a forum to express their opinions and their ideas in person where it might be better? So it's thinking about the ways people work, how people can thrive in different settings has been so important as we build our team and our culture. And I think that stems from me realizing how lucky I am to never have worried about that.
That's beautiful. And I see that in you in every way. And I'm sure everyone else does too, actually. The interesting thing is that I know that you didn't have to, you're very fortunate to not have people kind of pick at your personality early on. And you were in these boardrooms early on. And you were pitching the idea of a way before there was even a product and ultimately raising money for it. And I remember religiously when you said this in the NPR interview, people were just buying into the excitement and the brand behind this. And all of that came from you and Steph. And I think that the result and the fruits of being yourself were really, if I may say humbly, probably the early seeds that allowed you to grow what it is today. Would you agree with that or no?
Yes and no. So okay. I think the way we've always talked about the brand to our customers and our future customers and the people around us was always about like this excitement around travel, the passion we had for the product that we were making,
yes.
The brand that we were building. But that didn't totally translate to, you know, investor pitches, you know? So I think we did try a few pitches where we're like, we're going to create this incredible travel brand based around like community and like online and offline relationships. And we're going to sell luggage, but that's just a small part of it. And there's like a whole big vision behind it. And people are like, well, what's the business model? Or like, what about the unit economics or something like that? And I think a big part of it is like, you know, like if the first piece of my advice is bring your whole self to work, yep. and be authentic. The second piece of my advice is to know your audience. So there's a way that you can authentically convey what you're trying to do in a language and in words and in terms that your audience can understand. So yep. obviously when we're talking to our customers who are passionate about travel and experiences and storytelling, that's what we lean into. And that's something we very much believe in. But when we were talking to those early investors, we were like, hey, you know what? Here's our, here's what it'll cost to acquire a customer. Here's yeah. how much it costs to make the product. Here's our business model. Here's how we're going to reach new audiences in terms they can understand. And that was authentic too, but just like adding like a layer of like business and metrics and things that they needed to hear to our conversation. So we didn't change the idea at all. It didn't change how excited we were about the brand or what we were building, but we talked about it to them in terms that they understood.
Lovely. Incredible answer. And for the sake of time, we'll move on from it. You travel very often these days. Mm-hmm. In your early days, you were emphatic about traveling. Are you still? And do you still feel very passionate toward it?
I am. And it's funny because one of, obviously we started away and created our first product because luggage had become such a commodity. And I think my fear had always been that if I travel so much, will travel itself become a commodity to me?
So and you thought about this?
Yeah. And okay. I think we've all been there where like anyone, I think when you're younger and you don't really understand what it means, you're like, one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to travel for work. You're like the thought of like, oh my God, someone else is going to pay for my flights and I get to stay in a hotel. And like, that was like my dream. Yeah. And I remember even being an intern at Johnson & Johnson, they'd be like, oh, you're going to go to the warehouse in the middle of Pennsylvania tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, a work trip. And it was so exciting. And I would go and I'd get set up in like a Motel 8.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. This is a work trip. I had like my little bag. My first suitcase I bought for myself was a Diane von Furstenberg like bag with like two wheels, like a duffel.
Lovely.
Me and DVF laugh about this all the time. And I'm just like, you were my first suitcase. This is all you. But you know, that sort of excitement. Yeah. And then there comes to a point when like, this is when it really hit me. I had a speaking engagement in Monaco. And then
it's incredible.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then I had to go to Cannes to speak at another award show. And then I had to go to SF for like an investor meeting.
Got
and
it.
I just remember like showing up in Monaco and I was so tired and they'd put me up in like literally the nicest hotel in Monaco.
Yeah.
I got on stage and then I had to go and like the only way to get from Monaco to the airport without sitting in traffic for like 4 hours is to take a helicopter, which is actually really cheap.
Yep.
But I'm sitting there on that helicopter and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Like, I don't want to travel anymore.
How long ago was this?
Like 2 months ago.
Okay, cool. So this is a new realization.
Yeah. And I like stopped myself and I was like, this is crazy. If you had told 18-year-old me that I would be getting paid to fly to Monaco and take a helicopter to the airport so I could get to my next flight and like get on stage to talk about this like company that we've built, I would have been like, this is the life. And yeah. it truly is. And I think it's easy to kind of catch yourself complaining or whining, like just when you're tired because you've been on the road so much and you haven't seen like your friends or mm-hmm. your significant other or your dog.
Yeah.
And I always catch myself in those moments and I'm like, you were literally living your dream.
Yeah.
So like, get a grip.
Yeah.
But I think that's, it all ties back to kind of the mission behind Away.
Yeah.
And Away's entire purpose is to transform travel and to get rid of all of the annoying parts of your journey so that you can focus on that. And I think those reality checks are like when it really hits me. I'm like, no, we're doing something great. Like the fact that we get so much feedback from people around, like, I used to hate packing. I used to literally dread trips because I didn't want to open my suitcase and put stuff in it. But now we've created this incredible system where you get your packing cubes and your suitcase and you have the bag on top of it. And people talk about that sense of satisfaction they get when, you know, they clip their zippers into the little lock and they're like ready to take on the world. And it's like a feeling that you want to bottle.
Yeah.
Because instead of like rushing out of your house and being like, what did I forget? I like totally miss something. The trip is going to be horrible. People are like truly excited about travel. That's the same stuff we're trying to solve for ourselves every single day. So,
yeah.
It is tiring, but I get a grip on reality pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I can sense that. And for the sake of time, we have about 60 seconds here. Let's do rapid fire.
All right. Let's
All right.
It.
So a tip of advice for folks who travel often, not entrepreneurs, just people who love to travel.
Have a go bag. So a little bag that with your toiletries, eye mask, whatever it is that you need, you know, sleeping pills, whatever you need to be comfortable on a plane, keep that packed always. Don't ever unpack it because then you'll forget something. And as long as you have that, you'll be comfortable.
Lovely. And then entrepreneurs? Advice
for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, a piece of advice for entrepreneurs.
You've heard me say this a million times, but make sure you actually care about what you're doing.
Yes.
Don't start something for the sake of starting something or because you think you should.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second you hit your first major roadblock, it's not going to get you through it if you don't care about it.
I believe it wholeheartedly. Final question. Okay. You and Steph started this company in magnanimous fashion. I'll make this quick. She was a logistics girl from Warby Parker. To put it very simply, you were their social media manager. Did it ever occur to you once, I'm a social media manager, you're a logistics girl, how are we going to start a company? Did that roadblock, was that ever faced? I'm curious.
I think we actually framed it totally differently. I was like, oh, I'm the marketing person and you're the operations wizard. Like,
lovely.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it was like, that was the one thing I was always sure of, that was like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
So
I heard you talk about that. I just want to ask because I think a lot of people might overlook their skills and I wanted to cover that.
Yeah, that's actually a great piece of advice to close it out with.
Yeah,
because
please.
Look for, if you're looking for co-founders or for people to work with, look for, like, know what you're good at and then find people who fill the gaps. Like, don't start a company with someone who's exactly like you and is good at the same things, because then you're going to have like a whole bunch of stuff that nobody's doing.
Yeah. I love that. Jen, this was amazing. And I acknowledge you at the beginning. I want to do it one more time. You are an incredible example of not just a incredible founder that I think everybody should be taking notes from right now, but also just a truly well-hearted person. And just the fact that you chose to sit down with us today says everything. So thanks so much for being with us.
Nick, thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
All right, bye.